In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Just want to welcome everybody again. God bless you for coming. Now we have the leadership meeting right after the service. So I'm going to be brief today. But let's go to our message. Okay. My technical person, follow me. Okay. We said this year is our year of what?
Double blessing.
Double blessing. This is the year of double blessing. And we say double blessing is to receive twice as much of God's approval, God's favor, to amplify your good fortune, and to extend and increase your success. My technical person behind me. To experience the full benefits of God's favor, for double blessing, we say we need to experience a new beginning. Okay, we need to experience a new beginning. We'll talk about what a new beginning is. We say a new beginning is the introduction to a different foundation, okay, that you are not accustomed to, that you are not familiar with. And this foundation will give you a fresh start and will lead you to an extra favor for establishment from God. So what God is doing through this teaching is shifting us and preparing us and reinforcing, if you already have some foundation, reinforcing your spiritual foundation so that you can get to a place where you can experience the fullness of His blessing. So we said to walk into this new beginning, you need to have the right mindset. And we said mindset is the way you think about issues, the way you think about situation. We said mindset is a thought pattern or ideas that governs your life, okay? And we said to experience a new beginning, you must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We said transformation is to make a turn for dramatic change, okay, in your thought process that will reflect in your character. So we said when our minds are renewed, we say then we can also experience family unity. And we say family unity is peaceful existence. Doesn't mean the absence of conflict. But it's peaceful existence and coordination that flows from mutual respect, understanding, and adjustment for the good of the relationship. We wanted to say that true family unity can only exist when we have a renewed mind, when we have the right mindset. Said, and that will cause us to think sensibly. So we say to you that to think sensibly means for you to show sound judgment, okay, that may be contrary to the norm of many people. And we also said that we can promote family unity when we are intentional about making peace. And the only way we can be intentional about making peace is to have a renewed mind. Because if you don't have a renewed mind, you can't be intentional about making peace. You know, it's like you take every molehill and you turn it into a mountain. That's what we don't want to do. But we need to be intentional to make sure we make peace. Then we want to say that when our minds are renewed, we can exhibit, which was last week, the leadership that God requires. Because we inducted people into office last week. So we talk about that. We said the world has a standard and expectation for its leaders. God has a standard and expectation for His leaders. As children of God and as leaders of God's people, we must adhere to the standard of leadership that God requires. And we said that the leadership that God requires is what? Influence through service. And we talk a lot. And we concluded by saying that like Jesus, we are to influence others by serving and leading with humility. Amen. Today, we want to talk about freedom from myths, freedom from false belief. And you know, today, we'll be having a meeting, and I think I have to be brief, so I really struggle with this part of the message. And so, I will not talk about all the myths we have in the church, but I will talk about those myths we have about ourselves personally as believers. Amen? So, let's go to the text. 2 Timothy 4:1-4, you can already read that earlier. It said, before God and Jesus Christ, who is coming to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly charge you, Proclaim the message, the King James, and preach the message. Persist in it, whether convenient or not. Rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. Note that. Rebuke, correct, and encourage how? With great patience and teaching. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine. They can just endure. I want you to think about that word. They will never tolerate sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, will accumulate teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear something new. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. Amen. And this teaching, the material I have developed for this teaching, I've had a whole seminar, I've been preaching on them for more than 4 or 5 sermons, but I'm going to just focus on one aspect of it. Amen. As we talk about this thing today, I want you to understand, people of God, that myths, which are false beliefs, they are commonly held than the truth. And most of us, in fact, every one of us in this room, we have some myths that we hold on to. Okay? And sometimes our experiences make it difficult to accept the truth, even when the truth has been explained to us. We still want to hold on to those myths, those false beliefs, because of our experiences. But having the right mind will deliver us from every false belief. And it is my prayer today that the Spirit of God will just touch our lives. Amen. And set us free from those false beliefs. Amen.
Amen.
And the portion I will talk about today, I did it a couple of weeks in Dallas. That is, so some of you will be like a review for you, some of you will be new to you, and some of you will listen to everything, you'll get better understanding today. But I want to talk about the personal aspect of myths. Now, let's look at the word myth. Again, but I threw it out there already. It's false belief. The Oxford Dictionary defined myth as a wildly held but false belief. Something that you hold on to. Something that you hold on to. Something that many people believe, but it is false. It is what?
False.
It is false. It's like, and I'll give this, I'm not saying good. How many of you in the room say you never put alcohol gas in your car? In fact, there was a time I was not putting alcohol gas in my car because I heard everybody saying it. And I said, let me do a research on gasoline. And guess what? There was no difference from alcohol gas and mobile or shell gas. They all have the same acting up quality, the same amount. So while everybody says, I don't want alcohol gas. Because it's cheap, right? So in our mind, if something is cheap, then it is not.
It's not worth.
Okay. In fact, I went to mobile and shell website to look at the ethanol quality in the gasoline. And there was not an inch different. And so since that time, I've been taking apple gas. But myth is a wildly held belief. Not because many people hold on to that belief, doesn't make it true. Amen. And the scripture we just read said the time will come that people will not endure, they will not tolerate sound teaching. They will want myth. They will turn to myth. It said because they want to hear something new. Okay, so quickly, and I pray that maybe I will come back to this another time. So the scripture teach that people will turn away from hearing the truth, turn to myth. He says, now look at the scripture there, now look at that, and I put it on the board, I call up Koi. He said, the time will come what? When they will now tolerate sound doctrine. Now, I want us to examine ourselves. You know, when I grew up, I heard Bishop Wenger, Arsene Wenger in Liberia, he was at a youth conference, and he came to speak to us, I think he was single AG, and he said, there are two types of Christian. You have the shovel Christian, and you have the rake Christian. He said, the shovel Christian, when the pastor is preaching, they love, oh, this is for Fatu, the teacher of the trade of her. Ah, and they hear something and go, oh, that one for Prince. You know, so they're looking for everybody that our word is applicable to life themselves. You see, for the red Christian, everything they hear God say through the pastor, they put it to themselves. Father, show me myself. Let me see my fault. Let me see the errors of my way. And help me to change. So I pray as we talk about this, that you will not be a shallow Christian.
Amen.
You will be a rich Christian.
Amen.
You will allow the Holy Spirit to cause you to be reflective so you can think about yourself. Mm-hmm. And this is why I'm going to make it personal. Amen. Amen. I'll look at the personal base we hold onto. The personal base that we hold onto. Okay. And the reason we hold on to those old faith, the reason we hold on to that is simply because of this. Because of the experiences we go through. And the experiences bring us to a place that we rather believe something different than what the scriptures say. Mm-hmm. Because what we believe fits into the narrative of our reality. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
So although God said this about you, but when you look at your life, and you look at your life from time past, and maybe people you know, you look at their lives, you will not want to believe what God says. Mm-hmm. Because it does not fit the narrative. And that's why we are stuck. So quickly, let's go. And I will deal with this another time. But I'm ready now for the time. So let's go. Go with me, G. So that was the myth that we hold, believers we hold. Go with me. Yes. So I'm making it personal. So the first one I want to talk about, I believe us hold dear, and a lot of things I'm going to talk about because of the time and because of what we wanted to do the skipping. Just one, many believers believe this. I am not good enough for God to use me. I am not good enough for God to use me. And guess what? You're not the only one who believe that. Remember, maybe something that is wild in here, right? So there are a lot of people in the scripture, but I just took another scripture I will show you, but I'm going to show you from the Psalm. So we see here somebody in the scripture who held the same belief. So Psalm 73, the psalmist said, God is good to Israel, and God is good to the pure in heart. But as for me, because my feet almost slipped, and my step went astray, God is not good to me. I'm not good enough because why? Because my feet slipped and I went astray. So I'm not good enough for God to use me. And you saw me like you sitting under the sound of my voice. God wants to take you to another level. And there are things God wants to do in your life. Now, God may not call you to stand here and preach. But every one of us, God has a purpose for us. And God wants to use every one of us. But some of us are so convinced, the devil has convinced us, we are not good enough for God to use us. So we hold back. We hold back. Let's look at the second myth. It is too difficult to serve God. People who don't care about God have it too easy than people who serve God. If I just show your hand, maybe everybody will show your hand. That it is difficult to serve God. That's a myth. We hold on to this myth. It is too difficult to serve God. I heard Christians say over and over before when I was not committed to God, my life was okay. Can you imagine that? My life was okay when I was not committed to God. But since I got committed, each time I hear that statement, like, what in the world is this person talking about? How can the devil deceive us? Trust me. If you're to sit down and rather reflect, your life was not okay. The only thing is, maybe the level of guilt and condemnation you are experiencing, you were not experiencing it. And the reason why you are experiencing that level of guilt and condemnation is twofold. What either the Holy Spirit is convicting you or the devil is condemning you. So when you were not Christian, you did not have that same level of guilt and embarrassment and shame. But now that you're a child of God, the Bible says God is working in you daily. Spirit is either convincing you or the devil, the Bible says, he's the accuser of the brethren. He's using condemnation to get you down, and now you think it's difficult to serve God. It's a myth. And I pray that God deliver us from that myth in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, many of us, we can shout and jump and sing when we are together. But when you are by yourself, you hold on to this view. It's too difficult to serve God. It's too difficult to serve God. So there were even people in the sermon who said, I envy the arrogant. He said, why? Because I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have an easy time until they die. Their bodies are well fed. They are not in trouble. They are not afflicted like most people. Are you kidding me? Maybe you haven't met a wicked person yet. He said, I envy the arrogant. I envy the prosperity of the wicked. They have an easy time until they die. That's not true. That's not true. I know people who have millions of dollars and they commit suicide. One of my favorite rascals, he killed himself, he killed his wife, and killed his son, and he had $30 million in the bank that the government took. So how will you tell me, go back here, how will you tell me that they have an easy time? Yes, they may have money, you may not have money, but they are not having easy time. So the devil causes us to believe this myth that it's difficult to serve God, but the God set us free from that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's go to the next one. I really want to deal with this. I can deal with it, but that's fine. The Holy Spirit said, we're doing the work. Amen. The next myth we believe is that the wicked prosper while the believers struggle. Amen. Many people believe that. As a Christian, we struggle and nothing seems to work. If I was to that, we ask, where is God? God, where are you? Now, I can deal with that at another time. But that's why I say our experiences, they make us to believe these things. Because of the challenges of life. You know, the songwriter said, life is full of heartaches and broken dreams. To live is not easy, and always at the same. Life, for sure, is full of heartaches and broken dreams. But it does not mean that your life is, all your life should be one of constant struggle. But the devil gets us stuck so that he cannot do what he wants to do with us. Okay. You see, the devil always knows a way to distract us, right? So the wicked, they are not prospering while you are struggling. I have, in my short time here on earth, God has brought me in contact with all kinds of people. I have met people who are so wealthy and they are miserable. In fact, that's why my approach to money is different. My approach to wealth is different. Although I grew up with a little, and I have a little here and there in my life, but I have met people. Who I thought they had it all together. And by the time I got to counsel and pray for them, I was confused.
Yeah.
And I was saying, if I had just given a little of what this person had, then the Holy Spirit said, you don't understand.
No.
Listen, don't allow the devil to deceive you. So the psalmist said, look at them, the wicked. They are always at ease. That's not true. I'm so glad that God allowed these things to be written. That's not true. They are not always at ease. And they don't always increase their wealth. And you know that in Christ you can be at ease.
Mm-hmm.
And increase, you can improve your wealth, increase your wealth also. The only thing is, one, we have poverty mentality. You know, what I tell people, and so there are a lot of people talking about that. You know, and I tell her, I say, you know, I want to have a balance. And I feel like she trying to change me certain ways. And you know, like she was buy all these shoes for me. I said, I don't need those shoes. I said, I'm a man. And so that she in fact when she ordered the shoes, she came to show me the price. And I was saying, I'm like, what am I need that. I don't need to spend that kind of money on shoes. But the thing is this. I believe in building wealth. But I don't know what I'm talking about. I believe in building wealth. And I don't believe in that. I'm not saying that she flamboyant. But I don't believe in making a show. Right?
Yeah.
I believe in living a quiet, peaceable life that is impactful, that I can be a blessing to others, and when I have a need, I can meet that need.
Yeah.
You understand? But most of us, we don't think that way. In fact, I was talking to somebody, I said, if you see my wife, and you want to be like her, you will be poor. Yeah, I said, because maybe you're not earning while she's earning. You don't know about financial resources. So if you want to order shoes every week, you're going to be poor. So the reason we think wicked people are prospering is because we don't know how to manage the little we have.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So because we don't know how to manage what we have, and we don't know how to build our wealth and grow our wealth, so we always think that somebody else is better than we are. Okay, I'm not going to talk about this one. Listen, and that tax time. Some of you will get that money and you'll be broken 1 week. I was talking to somebody, okay, the person, said, last year I got $8,000, and this year I think I will get that. And I'm like, last year I got $8,000, I'm like, get all that money back. Why are you people doing? And we're talking. And I said, person, what did you do with that money? The person has nothing to show. If I let me tell you one thing, everybody come to change cars right now.
Oh yeah.
Because of tax time. That's the wrong mentality. You don't know how to build wealth. People get your income tax. Everybody got the new TV. What happened to that old TV? You're not showing picture? Yeah, some of you want smart TV, you already have smart TV. But now you think that smart TV too small. So it was 7-inch. That way it will be from wall to wall. When people enter your house or your apartment, they go, wow. And now you have to wait for another task with 10 times to blow it off. I bet. Those of you that are going to get a lot of money from tax return, you will not invest fast. And you know, there are a lot of investment companies there now, they don't have any more minimum. People used to have minimum. Some people say you start with 5,000. Now they don't have any minimum. You want to start with 5,000, say you can start with 8. But guess what? People will blow it all in 1 week. And you will not invest fast. And then tomorrow he said the wicked prosper. No, they know how to grow their wealth.
Speak to me.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let's go to the next one. Oh, Jesus. I'm not talking about you. I love you all.
Love you too.
Ask yourself this question. When I have an emergency, who do I turn to? But instead of saying, who do I turn to? Ask yourself again. When I have an emergency, what am I doing to make sure I can deal with that emergency? Even in this room, somebody get a child, they get benefit. You don't even have life insurance. Yeah, if I tell you, you get life insurance, you will die. It's a benefit from your job. Somebody will not even sign up for it. Okay, let me leave it. That's why I say, even all the benefit, even if you don't want to go up, do your investment on your own, you don't want to go do stock market trading, all of something, your job, they get 401k. Sign up for, not the 401k for retirement, but 403b. Sign up for 403b. They will take that small money from your paycheck. You got that money that they're taking from your paycheck, they put in that 403b. If they don't put it there, some of you that fast food will take it. Those of you that don't have fast food, the shoes and hair and all of that will take it.
Okay. Yeah, other than laughing.
That's good. So he said, it is different of the police come on, that's another name. We said a wicked prosper. Then we also believe, and about the close, that it is difficult to please God. Nothing I do can please Him. That's a myth. The devil makes you to believe that it is difficult to please God. You can please Him. After what this personal belief, I'm not going to go into all the general myths we have in the church, but the personal belief we hold onto that are false. And many people hold on to those beliefs. It's too difficult to please God. Nothing you can do to please Him. But I destroy that spirit of lie in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I command you, I speak to your spirit man, I speak to your inner man, and I speak to your mind, and I say, break loose from the falsehood of the devil in Jesus' name. And if somebody asks, why did I purify my hands and wash my hands in innocence from nothing? I'm afflicted all day long. I'm punished every morning. And some of you have not even done that level yet. But some people do. You know, God, why are you trying to live for you? If I summon you, the reason you're not committing to God, you feel that, everybody I know when I commit to God again, rough on them. Some of you say, maybe one time ago, I tried to commit my life to God, and it was like the worst thing I ever did. No, let me tell you, not committing your life to God is the worst thing you do. And let me tell you, all of this lukewarmness we have are the worst we can do. God said, I'd rather you are cool than you are hot. He said, because if you look warm, I will spill you out. I challenge us to take our commitment to God seriously. This 2018, if we're walking to our top of blessing. Amen?
Amen?
And lastly, we believe that things are not working in our favor because God is still punishing us. If I have to say raise your hand, I show up myself and I'll raise your hand. You believe God is still punishing you. That's why nothing is working for you. In fact, some of you, when you sit down by yourself, you just soak your pillow with tears when you go to bed at night. Cry unto God, oh, Papa, God, have mercy upon me. In the public, you put on a show. In private, you can even hold on to a single promise. There are a lot of promises of God that I wanted to miss. But when I get back to the series, I will continue from our list of promises. Now we need to hold. God, this is what God said. But your reality said, no, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. God is punishing me. So he asked, God, why have you rejected us forever? Why does your anger burn against the sheep of your pastor? God, why? Why? And so I just said, even the sound of my voice, you are thinking that God is punishing you. I heard somebody say to me a couple of weeks ago, the person said, I'm a Christian, but I know there is no good luck. I can't spread good luck because God is angry. That's number one. As a Christian, it's not about luck. We are highly favored and we are blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
And let me tell you, some of you, you go a crazy in your head. Because you just can't understand what things are not working. And let me say this in closing. There's not even what I'm going to say. The reason some of you are just stuck with habits and pain is all because you yet think God will not intervene. And so what you do, some of you are like, the advice his mother gave him. Mother said, oh, Lemuel, it's not good for a king to drink. But give her liquor to those who are having trouble so they can forget the trouble for a while. Yeah. But trust me, after you drink all the hard liquor, what happened? When your eyeball clear,
you're going back there.
The trouble stay there.
Yeah.
So you have to go get more higher, like vodka, or my alcohol.
Give it to her.
Valka.
Valka.
Valka, okay.
No. If you know the name, call it.
Yeah. Some of you, I don't have a drink, I'm not going to tell you those that I drink. Some of you beer that you water now. It didn't do anything to you. And people are in Labrador that keep the real.
I'm not going to
keep you. You will be going after. But it's still not, this is not on the nation, but the point I'm making is, it is not taking away your problem.
Yeah.
He said, commit your ways unto the Lord, and he will establish you. Commit your ways unto the Lord, and he will establish you. But how can I commit my way unto God when I think God is punishing me?
Why? You're looking at it, but it's
my How do you commit with your ways of God when you think God is punishing you? So, people, these false beliefs will cause us to look for solution. Go with me. They will cause us to look for solution outside of God, outside of God's grace, outside of God's compassion. God said that the time will come, they will not turn up a sound doctrine. But after their own desire, they will look for teachers to tell them something new. So that they can turn away from hearing the truth to the faith. You know what? Let me hear, I'm coming to close for other people online, us here, but for everyone else. Why all your problem now is your mind? I mean, since I went to Labrador 2 years ago, this bothers me. Because every corner you tell that all the prophets say your mom wants to kill you.
Yeah.
There are people that are not speaking to their mom anymore. So when you in this country here, you send money to people back home and say they should pray for you so they can lie to you that your mom wants to kill you.
Yeah.
Your mom did not abort you. She struggled with you for years.
Yeah.
Your mom may not be perfect.
Yeah.
She may make a mistake. Now things are not working for you that she don't want to kill you.
Right.
Some of you, the pastor, what happened to the pastor? I asked one pastor in my brother, he told my niece that I wanted to kill her. So she was also asking, what happened to her pastor? Is there anybody want to kill her? Be her pastor. Yeah, that will be in her life. Now my sister that suffered for her.
What happened to her pastor?
And if I know where, then you tell her, her mom wants to kill her. And some of you have bought into that lie that you're not even speaking to your mom anymore. May God deliver you from that lie in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because of that, he said, they will move away from hearing the truth. They want to hear myth. They want to hear fables. All you want to hear is somebody is wishing you. Why don't you look in the mirror? Why don't you know that the scripture said, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper?
Yeah.
We make all the laws. We say it in front of people. But when we believe somebody is wishing us, the church
Amen.
Why? But we look for solution outside of God because we don't want the truth. The scripture says, as I am, they will surely gather but not of me. He said, but for your sake. Because you are my printing, you are my righteousness. He said, for your sake, although they gather, they shall scatter. Then when you come to verse 14, he said, therefore, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the sins of the Lord. And the righteousness is of me. God says, every time the rise against you, you shall contend. I don't care who take your name where, because you are the child of God, you are the blessing of the Lord, you are the righteousness of the Lord. The wizard and the witches and the sorcerer can call your spirit, but they can never get your spirit. So we don't need to look for solution outside of God.
Amen.
That's why Hebrews 2:1, and I close with that verse. He said we should embrace that prodigy. He said pay even more attention to what you have heard, so that you will not drift away. You can live in an era that will drift away. Fear is prevailing. Everybody, somebody wish you. Let me close. Father, help me. Why don't you think this people that sometimes God wants you to go through that situation to make you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
To make you.
Yes.
You know how many people school fee are paid in Liberia, even up to college level? You know? Because God allows something to happen to my family.
Uh-huh.
We grew up, our parents would give her everything. They had their own business, everything. After the coup, they lost everything. Trust me, when I was graduating from high school, I gave first place in my class. I had run my speech, everything. We knew only $150 for the graduation fee and for the gowns and everything. And my parents could not afford it. And my parents were looking for everybody. My parents that have they have sponsored so many people in school, and we went to the best of school. Now their own son coming because the government seized their business. They took everything from us. Okay, although my parents are not conquer people, but you know, after the coup, all kinds of things happened because before that time, the people who have takes it like you have to be conquered. And we did not have anything. And I will never forget that day. My parents, they decided that we should fast and pray. For a whole week, 2 weeks, we fasted and prayed. And we never got a cent. And I said, I cannot serve this God that cannot meet our needs. And I will not forget that day. I walk on that campus, my speech in my hand. You guys will go to the campus every day. And we'll talk to the acting principal, the principal, and the DOCC when I hear my bureau at that time. And the principal will tell me, say, just get the graduation fee and you will march. And they encouraged me. They even helped me to write my speech. Because I came first place in my class. They helped me to write my speech. Everything else they gave my speech. And that day, I could not march. I attended the class night. I attended the Bible library service. But I couldn't attend the commencement service because we did not have the money. And I will never forget that day how I felt. And how I was angry with God. And God said to me, I heard your prayers. I answered your prayers. But nobody was available. He said, some people I spoke to gave you $10. They said, what can my $10 do? Some people I spoke to gave you $15. They said, what can my $15 do? He said he needs $150. God said, if all the people I spoke to give according to their ability, if they are giving, you will have the money. But they all disobeyed me. And then God asked him, will you obey me? That's why I cannot see a need that I don't need. I don't care how much you say you want $1 million. If I have a $5, I will give it to you. That's why I have paid so many people school fee in Liberia. Some people earn you. I paid a school fee. I do all of that. Because the day I wanted to march, with my speech in hand, I couldn't march. But God allowed him to break me. God allowed him to use me to be an answer to people's prayer. God knew if I had that money. people.
Amen.
That's why I do what I do. So why don't you think God is shaping me? It's somebody wishing me. Somebody wishing me. Everything is somebody wishing me.
Telling you.
Nobody is wishing you. God has allowed you to go through some of the situation so you can help people.
Yes, ma'am.
Our high school, we have in Liberia about 40% of the students that don't pay school fees.
Free.
We allow them to go there free. And we are one of the best paid schools in Liberia. We pay our teachers well. And yet some of the students don't even pay school fees. In fact, the last time I was talking to a person, he was like, how can we maintain what we do if we don't, if these students don't pay? And I told them, if their parents don't have it, let them come. God will make it possible.
Amen.
Why am I doing that? Because of the experience I had. I don't want somebody to have that experience. So everything is not about wishing you. Sometimes God wants you to go through something so you can be the answer that other people were not to be. Father, in the name of Jesus, Pastor, thank you for the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for Jesus. Let us stand up, please. Day after day, I live for Jesus. Day after day.